T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Show to camera, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. All right, once and for all week's going to be fun. We'll get to that up ahead shortly. Elliot Shore Parks, as he is with us every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. He'll be with us coming up in about 15 minutes. A lot of conversation today about the proposal of the baseball owners to get baseball back starting in July and what it looks like. And, again, the revenue split that they're looking for, sort of like a one-year salary cap situation. Not salary cap, just revenue sharing, I guess is a better way to put it. If you will, we'll see.
It's capped, man.
Well, there's no
cap. You're placing.
It's not a cap. It's not a cap because you can't have a cap without a total amount that you can spend. So it's not a cap. It's a revenue split. It's what it is. It's a revenue split.
But there's never been.
Never been in baseball, and wouldn't be next year. I mean, this is a one-time deal. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Dan in Philadelphia. Hey, Dan.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Doing well, Dan.
Joe. They've already came to an agreement in regards to all this, correct?
Yeah.
I will say no to that. They came to an agreement. I would not say in regards to all of this.
The no. Owners already have.
There was an agreement. There is a signed agreement, and the owners are now saying, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, we don't like this signed agreement.
Dan, in March, in late March when that happened, did you really think that was the end of it?
I had no idea, and I don't think anybody had any idea.
Well,
and
I can tell you this. I did have an idea, and I did not assume that was the end of it.
So if you're the owners and you don't think that's the end-all, be-all contract, put
then
the stipulation in the contract that says, hey, we are leaving this open to reintroduction of facts and renegotiation or something like that.
Or why present an offer on the table at that moment anyway?
Because that offer was about the absence of games. This offer is about games.
Joe, they already have their money from the TV network, so they're not losing money that way. So,
and they're going to be making more money because of the expanded playoffs.
And you can say that the players going to the ballparks and doing all this, you could essentially call that hazard pay for these particular players.
Sure.
It's a great phrase for it. You're right.
I mean, they are taking the risk, and the players, the owners have already been paid. Sure, they'll lose some revenue with the gate tickets, but we all know that's not where their main revenue is generated from.
They're claiming that that's 40% of what they make.
There's no way. There's teams that would be bankrupt at this point if that was the case.
I agree. And I think the players are saying this is a clever ruse on your part. You're trying to take advantage of the situation to, you know, impose a cap that you could never impose before.
All right, Dan, give me a great scene in a comedy, in a movie.
Which one did you say from Something About Mary?
I can't be too specific here, but they
the hair scene.
They start on a date.
Hairstyle.
Yeah, no, that's a good scene, but I think it's from the same movie, the Frank and Beans, when he gets caught in a zipper.
Oh, another good one.
The fire department comes and Frank and Beans.
Dan, well done. Tremendous. Really is. We go to Paul in Abington. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Paul.
So when I called in, I originally told Seltzer that I wasn't on John's side. And after listening to you guys, I realized that I originally thought to myself, like, hey, every time I listen, I'm always on John's side. And, you know, for once, I'm not. And after listening to you guys a little bit, I realized that, you know, that's the case. So, you know, when we were talking about things and discussing things, you guys had said, hell, you know, the players are the ones that are assuming the risk and things along those lines, which is accurate. Mm-hmm. And you know, the owners agree to pay the players, and that's the end of the story. You know, the owners are paying the players whatever the salaries are negotiated, and so on and so forth.
Yep.
They agreed to a truncated season, so if they agree to a truncated season, you're only getting paid for the games you play. I think that's fair. I agree with that completely. But then when you go to take money away from the players in addition, because there's not going to be fans in the stands, well, what does that money go to? Doesn't that also go to all of the security and staff that would work in the stadium? Doesn't that go
that's
to the individuals
point,
that
Paul.
Are working the concessions?
Great point.
So that being the case, I kind of feel like the owners are saving that money because I'm sure they're not paying for all the security, the parking attendants. They're not paying for the concessions.
Their
costs and all those.
Are slashed.
Exactly. So that being the case, it's not fair to also try and hit the players from – you know, that standpoint.
Paul,
as well.
It's a
great point.
Paul, it's a good distinction, but let me ask you, I mean, look, I don't know what the numbers are, but I'll just say this. I doubt that the owners break even on fans being in the stands and having to pay employees. I mean, obviously they make money on it, right? I mean, you go to a game, a hot dog, $7, you know, a Coke's $8, a beer's $9. Like, I mean, yes, and you're paying people, but you're making money in that process.
And I agree with that 100%. But then, to another caller's point, the players don't renegotiate when there's, you know, attendance at 105% capacity. The players don't then renegotiate and say, hey, we need another 5% added on to our salaries because, well, we were able to pack the stands an extra 5 or 10% when you consider standing room and things along those lines. So then, if that's the case, the players can't renegotiate higher salaries based off of percentage of ticket sales. Then the owners shouldn't be able to renegotiate a contract based off of a lack, being that they're the owners, just like the small businesses around here, the small businesses, the owner's the one that's taking the heat. If they got employees that are still working, even though the income is less, they're not going to say, well, hey, since we're only doing curbside and we don't have a full, you know, wait staff available to us, you're only going to get 50% of your pay because you're not serving 7 tables. You're only serving 3 cars that pull up at a time.
Well, hold on. Don't assume that people aren't taking pay cuts. A lot of people have taken pay cuts, and a lot of people have been laid off.
Well, and I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we have in Rockledge, there was a new bar that opened up. It's called the Malt House. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they opened on Fat Tuesday, the intentions were, you know, they're opening up to everybody, and we're going to have a new bar in the area. The individuals that are still working there, I would assume that, you know, they're still getting paid, you know, a fair salary. They're not going to say, hey, we're hiring you at, let's say, you know, $12 an hour so that you can serve tables and serve guests and you're going to make tips also. And then now that those individuals are only walking out to the car, they're going to say, well, you know, you're only able to hand, 3 cars at a time their meals. So we're only going to pay you $4 an hour instead of $12 an hour. I mean, you know, hey, they're taking pay cuts. But we're also talking about substantially different.
All right, Paul, what do you got here for a great movie scene in a comedy?
So I hope that this is taken correctly, but in Step Brothers, I'm going to say when they are talking about the body part on the drums.
Okay. You guys know what that means, obviously.
Yeah. Shouldn't you? Didn't you see Step Brothers?
I watched half of it. I watched half of it.
Disgusted.
So, fair enough.
I did not like
All right, I have in front of me here, guys, the topics for next week. It was funny, last segment, I said, hey, coming up, I'll tell you what the topics are. We go to a commercial break, and I got a promo running saying what the topics are. Seltzer, get it together. All right, here are the topics. It's going to be fun. Next week, once and for all week, to settle longtime WIP debates each day. Donovan McNabb on Monday. Underrated or overrated? Obviously, in the 30-something year history of WIP, one of the most discussed athletes ever. I would say the single most discussed athlete in the history of WIP. James, you've been here your whole life. Do you agree that Donovan McNabb, more than Iverson, more than Lindros, certainly more than Wentz, who's only been 4 years?
Yeah, I think it's McNabb.
In total volume of discussion.
Yeah.
More discussion happened on Donovan McNabb on this radio station than any other player.
I think it's a great distinction.
Yeah.
Yes. I think Donovan McNabb is the winner.
Yeah. Charles Barkley was traded in
or loser, however you phrase it as.
I mean, Iverson might be number two, but I think Donovan McNabb, single most discussed athlete in the history of WIP, and therefore a worthy selection as the leadoff batter on Monday for just how good was he, underrated or overrated. Tuesday we get into.
I can't wait for that.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
We
could do 5 days of McNabb.
You're right. You're right. And there's a lot that I have not, I guess, ever said.
Ooh, we're gonna get some divulging.
A lot that I've never talked about with Donovan. There's been a, you know, not as much chance to talk about all this.
Okay, all right. It piqued my interest.
Here we go.
Tuesday we get into, of course, the heyday of the Phillies. They're I mean, it's close to their best era ever, and the best era ever, you could say, either the 80 group of sustained success or the 08 group of sustained success. 08 group, they went to the playoffs 5 straight years. They won a World Series like they did in 80. From the 2008 Phillies, which Phil's player was most important? That was something we used to kick around a lot, talking about Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, and Cole Hamels. We'll get into that. Wednesday, the process. Focused on the guy of the process, Sam Hinkie. The architect of the whole mad scientist thing. Was he a good general manager? Was he not? Was he brilliant? Was he a bozo? We'll get into the whole Sam Hinkie thing on Wednesday. Thursday, we bring it back more to the present day, if you will. Sort of present day, sort of not. Carson Wentz and Nick Foles.
Uh-oh.
Now, I don't know exactly what the topic is there, but what my piece of paper says in front of me that I was handed by the management here at WIP is Wentz versus Foles.
Well, we know what side you're on.
Well, settle down. And then Friday, we get to a topic that was raging last year on WIP, and to a certain extent the prior year, Gabe Kapler, with the question being, did Gabe Kapler get a fair shake?
Oh, no.
We're going to have fun with this.
Wow.
It's all next week, and it's going to be something. It's going to be wild. It's going to connect us up to Memorial Day.
Have you been keeping up with Gabe?
There's nothing to keep up with. He's the manager of the Giants. He's sitting home like everyone else is sitting home.
There's not really much going on.
I don't know. He's got all sorts of time to eat ice cream but not digest it.
Yeah.
So
there
Gabe,
hasn't been a whole lot of interesting.
No,
stuff.
There hasn't. But yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, to be clear, by the way, whole bunch of topics, including two that I advocated strongly for behind the scenes, and clearly I have no power.
Shows
around here.
How little juice Joe has.
I got
the scenes,
no
huh?
juice because there were two topics that I thought were absolute haymakers, had to be in the top
so
five.
So you were actually like. Pulling
yes.
for ideas.
Yes.
What were you doing?
The
you
two
lobbying Spike?
I was lobbying Spike. I was lobbying James. There was two.
I'm Spike Eskin.
Yes, I'm Spike Eskin. Let me down here. There's two topics I felt had to be in the top five for Once and for All Week. One.
Well, we could talk about
Well, we
them.
Can. One being the role of fans in Philly and whether fans are too hard on players, whether they are at times a detriment to the teams and the players. I thought there was a great juicy topic there that has been a defining topic not only for the 30 years of WIP.
We should talk about this.
But going back through the span of time. And the other one, how do we
that.
Not have a Terrell Owens topic? I mean, good Lord, Terrell Owens.
T-O.
So, you know, one of the things I really appreciated, as Spike laid it out, both publicly and privately, was that the topics that don't make the top five can be, of course, discussed any other day. So it could be later this week. It could be, you know, 2 weeks from now. Like, there are topics that didn't make the quote-unquote top five that we can do. I mean, Terrell Owens and the Eagles, you know, who was right, who was wrong, I actually think is the greatest of all topics. So we're going to get into these things over the next couple of, you know, days and weeks. It's going to be fun. And there are some other great ones that were submitted as well. Once and for All Week, it starts next week. Well, I'm sure we'll have some preliminary taste of it this week with some of the things that did not make the top five. It's all brought to us by the Busch Auto Group, online car buying made easy at BuschAutoGroup.com. We thank Busch Auto Group for being part of Once and for All Week. All right, coming up, Elliot Shore Parks, his thoughts on the top five that made it. He's obviously grown up around here, covered the Philadelphia Eagles in recent years. His thoughts on Once and for All Week and everything else we're discussing today, including – as a fan of sports, his opinion of whether the players or owners are in the right on this and some stuff on the Eagles. We'll hit it all with Elliot coming up next. More phone calls as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.